Brenda extended how grateful she is about the peace. Whenever you get a message or results of a test that maybe perhaps didn't turn out the way you thought it should, God still gives you peace that passes all understanding. That passes all understanding. We try to understand lots of things. We try to wrap our minds around lots of things that's going on in our lives. And as human nature is, we say, why? Why? Jesus knows. He also said, why hast thou forsaken me? He knows how you feel. Sometimes we forget that he also asked the question, why? And someday, we'll have an answer to all those whys. Not now, someday. Lord, it's time to share your word. Can't do as good a job as I could without your anointing. Prepare our hearts, our minds, to receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. In the New Testament, Christians are called by many different names. We call one another here at St. Thomas brothers and sisters, Brother Oscar, Sister Shirley. Simply, the term word believers is used in the New Testament. Another word, ambassador, is used. Disciple, child of God, saint. And we certainly don't seem to have any objections to those terms, do we? We don't mind being called by those terms. But there is another term that's not quite as appealing to as those are. And that term is the word servant. And to even make it worse, the Greek word that's used, that's translated as servant or bondservant, actually means slave. And then not just any slave, but the lowest slave in the house, who was assigned to washing people's feet as they entered. Now, how many of you ever went to a foot washing service? Wow, more than I thought. Huh? I can remember my mother saying, now go wash your feet. I said, Mom, we're going to get them washed at church tonight. Well, I don't want to bother washing them now. Make sure your socks don't have no holes in. So why don't we wash feet? If you've never washed somebody else's feet, you're really missing an opportunity. Do you know what that teaches? Anybody? Give me some words. Humility was the one I was listening for. Humility. Now, when the Lord did it, he didn't really institute that everybody should have a foot washing service in every church. But what he did institute is that you should be willing to do that. I've often thought that that'd probably be pretty good thing to implement in this church. It brings one another closer. And that's not a bad thing. I can tell you this, if you washed your brother's or sister's, washed sister's feet in church and did that, it would be awful hard to talk about them, wouldn't it? You ever think about that? Be hard to talk about somebody. Be hard to tear somebody down, wouldn't it? If you had just washed their feet last week. Those who occupied the highest level in the early church had considered themselves as lowly slaves. In all the New Testament writings of Paul and James and Peter and Jude and John, all of them have identified themselves as bondservants of Jesus Christ. And even Jesus took the form of a bondservant when he was made in the likeness of men, Philippians 2:7. He came here to earth. He lived in perfect obedience to the Father, doing only what he was shown or told by the Father. He lived in perfect obedience to the Father. It included a sacrificial death on the cross to redeem us. So I believe that God places a very high value on servanthood. Wouldn't you feel the same way? From the worldly perspective, it's certainly not an esteemed position. And if you recall and remember when the disciples were arguing about which of them was the greatest, Jesus told them that whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Matthew chapter 20, verse 26 and 27. So how are we to serve Jesus since he's in heaven and we're here on earth? When Jesus wanted to teach his disciples the importance of servanthood, he assumed that position of the lowest slave. We read the verses. He took a basin and put water in it and a towel, and he washed their feet. If then the Lord, if I then the Lord and your teacher have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. I gave you an example that you should do as I did to you. When we meet one another's temporal needs or spiritual needs, we are serving our Lord. I'm going to give you four truths that I believe qualify our service. The first one is serving is not what we do for God, but it's what he does through us. It's not what we do for God, but it's what he does through us. When Jesus ascended to heaven, he had told his followers they were to carry on his work. He said that we would do greater works than he did. John 14 and 12. When Jesus ministered, his ministry was limited here to a particular geographical location. He ministered for 3 years. But he commissioned his disciples to take the gospel where? Anyone. To the uttermost parts of the earth. And you see, that's where we come in. We're to carry on that commission. Every church has that commission to carry on. Today we have access to things that years ago they never had access to. We have the internet. We have television broadcasts. We have all kinds of publications that we are able to send the gospel in ways that those of old had no idea. But today, it's at our fingertips. The second thing is that God is the only one who determines how we are to serve him. He is the one who determines how we're to serve him. As servants, we do not have the option to pick and choose what we do for the master. Can you imagine a slave telling the master, after the master tells him what to do, I really don't want to do that. What do you think would happen? We don't have the option to pick and choose, but I can tell you this, God already knows what you'd probably choose. He already knows that. And that's why he's so much better to tell you. Because he already knows what you're suited for. Because he made you that way. He knows what you're best suited for. So why wouldn't you take his advice? Why wouldn't you say, Lord, here am I. Send Oscar. Isn't that what we do? Here am I. Send Gene. Look what happened. We should say, Lord, here am I. What would you have me to do? What do you want me to do? When we decide how we're going to serve the Lord, we usurp his role as master. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand for us to accomplish. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. Our responsibility is to discover how he wants us to serve him. And then we need to get busy doing it. He's even given us some spiritual gifts that he has made available for us to enable us to do exactly what he has planned for each of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. He knows exactly what he made you to do. When is the last time you said, Lord, here am I, use me? Are you afraid to ask that because he might send you to Africa? He knows your fears. He normally will not send you where you don't want to go. Are there exceptions? Brother Oscar just had one. Jonah. Jonah belonged to God. Jonah somewhere along the line forgot that God had called him. And Jonah, you don't have the option to pick and choose. Jonah, you don't have that option. When you're working for me, you do as I command. So Jonah had to go on his trip. Whew, you don't want to go on Jonah's trip. You'll be willing to do what the Lord commands next time. I'll bet Jonah had no problem doing what the Lord wanted him to do after that episode. Okay, thirdly, no matter what we are doing, ultimately we are serving Christ. When I was going to Bible college, I came to realize this when I had a cleaning job. In those days, I did contract cleaning. I worked for a contract cleaner. And of course, it was his cleaning business, and he would critique the cleaning work. You know how he'd do that? Well, he had all kinds of tricks. He'd say, Are you dusting everything? Well, yeah, we're dusting everything. Well, what's that? What is that? That's some dust I must have missed. He'd take little matches, the little book matches. Those little book matches, you're familiar with those? You open up the lid and pull one of those out. Hey, how's the vacuuming doing? It's going great. Doing a good job. Oh. What's this? That's a matchstick, yeah. Wonder who put that there. What's this? Another one of the matchsticks. Wonder how they're getting there. Huh? I don't need this job, Lord. All of a sudden, I don't like this job. I don't think I have to be doing that. You ever been there? You ever hate your job? Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, I came across this verse. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as unto the Lord. Do you know what that means? That means that fellow that was critiquing my work and putting them little matchsticks all around to make sure I was vacuuming, I need to treat him like he was the Lord. Whew! You're kidding me. He's... Oh, you don't want to hear that. You mean you're my employer? That's how I should work, like you're my boss? Boy, wouldn't there be people working a lot differently if they did that? How much production do you think we'd get from people who actually thought their boss was the Lord? You think that'd make a difference in your work and production? Try it. You might get the raise you never thought you were going to get. You might get a promotion that you never thought was possible. You know, when I read that, my attitude changed. The problem with the job wasn't that I had a clean, dirty commodes. It was my attitude. My attitude had to change. And when I realized that my boss was like working for the Lord, my attitude changed. And I started to work a little differently as unto the Lord. After realizing that I was sweeping and scrubbing for the Lord, I worked hard to do the best job I possibly could. And then fourthly, we must realize that we cannot serve ourselves and God at the same time. To become a servant of the Lord, we must overcome our self-centeredness. Oh, we're really stuck on ourselves. It all involves me. Everything circles around me. We need to overcome our self-centeredness. It's why Jesus said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me, Luke 9:23. You see, the Lord's apostles willingly served and died for him. And there may come a day when we must do the same. But we need to simply lay down our own agendas, our own desires, and we need to make ourselves available for whatever the Lord would have us to do. The Lord wants us to grow like Christ. Jesus came not to be served, but to serve It should be our ambition as well. Is it costly? Yes. Is it sacrificial? Yes. Will there be times of inconvenience? Yes. Is it exhausting? Yes. Sometimes we feel we're limited by our health or perhaps financial resources or maybe our abilities or even maybe our age. But I can tell you the biggest factor isn't any of those. It's our attitude. That determines altitude, I might add. It's your attitude that determines your altitude. Does that make any sense to you? If you are motivated by love, if you are motivated with a desire to honor the Lord, we won't have to look for ways to serve Him because He will put opportunities right in our path. Yes, He will. Each of us is called to be a servant wherever you are. Perhaps some will be making or cooking meals for the sick or the grieved. I know of one in particular that sends cards of encouragement. I have no idea what she spent in postage through the years, but it didn't bother her. But I can tell you my mother-in-law sent hundreds of encouraging cards through the years. You're having a bad day? You ever open up an envelope and somebody sent you a beautiful card to encourage you? Ever have that happen? One of your lowest days. How encouraging that is. That somebody remembered. Yes, you can serve the Lord wherever you are. In whatever capacity you possibly can do it. You can serve Him. It's also an eternal destiny. In Revelation 22:3, we will spend eternity serving our Lord. What a high and a glorious calling we have as servants of His. One of the things and reasons that we sometimes grow weary in serving is because we can't always see the good that we are accomplishing. But I can tell you the Lord sees everything. He knows everything. And He will never forget our service and the love that we have shown in His name. Our labor is not in vain. Bow your heads. I want to have a prayer. Heavenly Father, I know how this spoke to my heart when I was preparing for share today. And I want it to affect everyone the same way that it affected me. Lord, have Your way. Have Your will and Your way in each and every one of their lives. And I pray that their prayer is, Lord, here am I. What would You have me to do? Here am I. What would You have me to do? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.